Hey everyone, my name is Dave Nixon and welcome to the Alpha Theta Flow podcast. This is Flow 661 and today I'm going to talk a little bit about surviving or thriving. What's really quite interesting, and this is interesting from a physiology standpoint as well, or a soccer physiology standpoint, where we literally cannot thrive in dangerous environments. Now, when I talk about dangerous environments, I want to also point out that a dangerous environment is heavily just as subjective as it is objective. So for jail, I'm sure for many people that would be a extremely hostile and dangerous environment where survival is key. There are some people who probably feel most comfortable in jail, and that's potentially where over time they thrive. Now, that from outside looking in might sound ridiculous, but it's the same in let's use, for lack of a better word, like lower socioeconomic locations. There's so many variations to this that as a general rule we go, well, this is a safe place. Somebody else may not feel safe whatsoever at all. So there is a lot of subjective components and meaning structures that go to it. We can't just look at it from an environmental and objective standpoint. And here's an interesting thing. You can't make somewhere safe for somebody. You can do what you can, but ultimately it is up to the other person to feel safe in a particular space. But there is definitely things you can do to allow people to feel, to be most inclined to feel that way. So that's also really important. But one of the key things here is that if we are in a dangerous space, we will be in survival. We'll be working off really an old, old part of our nervous system. We're really working off mobilization effectively, which is fight or flight, right? Now, the difficulty of that is that what we're seeking in that is to feel safe. And so we'll often either fight or we'll flight until we do feel safe. And our body has this really crazy response to it as well. And there's a lot to say for polyvagal theory and the ventral vagus nerve complex. So what's interesting around this, though, is that we've got to be careful falling into the idea that this is just an objective, just an environmental space, and that we can make it safe for somebody as if we can do that, as if we're in control of how that person makes meaning. We're not. Rapport will absolutely help people feel safe, and the ability to match people and do so. So there is absolutely skill sets and sub-skill sets and things that we can do with the environment and with our own body language that allow people to turn the alarm bells off, so to speak, and then start to shift. Because when we do feel safe, that's when we are now in a position to thrive. And we see this with kids at school. If kids don't feel safe at home and they don't feel safe at school, and often they won't say they don't feel safe at school or home really, then they're in survival and they'll look at what's the best pecking order, right? Of course, I'm generalizing, but you get my point. But when a kid does grow up in this safe environment and they do feel safe in their school, we see them thrive. And so mentors and teachers and tutors and parents, of course, are so important in that. And so it's a really interesting thing. Now, we can also look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And there's five main needs with this, right? There's physiological and then safety, love and belonging. There's esteem, which is worth, and then self-actualization. And so if we are still attempting to sort out our physiological needs, like we don't know, our income's not consistent, where we were going from place to place sleeping, right? We lack some sort of clothing, or we're not sure when our next meal's coming from. It's extremely challenging when we're dealing with those things to really move into this social, this self-actualization space where we're really making both impact on ourselves and impact on other people. And this is where, of course, even though we may not have food, or even though we may not have shelter or something along those lines, of course we can still make an impact on the people around us. Absolutely. Of course we can. You can make an impact on any stage, any level. It's not my point, though. My point going, for you to thrive, we need to make sure your physiological needs are met. We need to make sure that your safety needs are met. That's personal security, your employment, resources, your health. And you know where your home is. You know when your next food is. You've got a continual income. Once those needs are met and your loving and belonging needs are met, we start to be able to like have the building blocks on what we can thrive from. It is very difficult to thrive when we're constantly in danger or constantly attempting to figure out where our next meal comes from. And this is why it's also so fascinating now that the world we live in, like it takes away so much of the dangerous, unsafe environments that our ancestors from many moons ago grew up in, that we get a chance. We don't even have to like vacuum or mop, or we've got computers that do that, right? We've got computers that deliver us food. We don't have to hunt anymore. All of this actually frees up a lot of energy to be able to then go into the newer sphere, which is the sphere of the mind, really, and double down on all of this this intelligent space where we can grow from this lovely neocortex that has given us, you know, this consciousness and this ability to think like humans. But if we are constantly attempting to find out when are we going to eat next, when are we going to, you know, where are we sleeping next, where's our next home, if we're constantly attempting to understand where those things are coming next, it's so hard to have the stability required to be able to thrive. But what's also very interesting is in order to get that external stability, we first need internal stability. It's a really interesting ironic complex, right? But we have access to that. We always have. There's a lot of work in that. And that's something I'll speak to in another podcast anyway, that sort of the inner stability that gives external stability rather than the other way around. But without it, we stay unstable. Or without it, if we don't have the inner stability that creates the external stability, right? If we're constantly going, when this happens, then I'll be stable, what we're doing is building a codependency and a condition on our own internal stability. And so what that means is that when that condition is taken away, it literally is the equation that you've created. You now lack stability. And so this is the whole idea, is that you're the surfer, you're not the wave. Don't confuse yourself as the wave. The wave comes, the wave goes. And the wave could represent a relationship. The wave could represent a job. The wave could represent a career or an education or a sporting endeavor, anything. The key thing is that you're none of that. Your worth as a surfer is inherent. You're simply here surfing waves. And on that note, team, I am done. Thank you very much for tuning in. If you found this podcast beneficial, it would mean the world to me if you'd pass it on to someone else who you think would also find it beneficial. And if you haven't already, you can grab a copy of my book, Money Self, anywhere online that sells books, or at alphathetaflow.com if you'd like one personally signed by me. If you're an athlete, a coach, or a high performer, and you're wanting to find out how to find your flow, then check out alphathetaflow.com and get in touch, because I'd love to have a chat with you. But that's it from me. Big love, peace and pizza. I'll see you all soon.